Welcome, everyone, to the Reaper Composition Final Project Showcase for semester one of 2017. We have had a great class, I think. I would say, anyway, this term. Hopefully my other instructors would agree with me on this.
I do.
Absolutely.
It has been a wonderful class. We got to teach all sorts of neat stuff for Reaper and musical good things. People learned a lot of neat stuff. People learned about MIDI, tempo stuff. Some people learned how to make SFZs and learned what those were. And so people really kind of got into it and just enjoyed themselves, I think, all around. We've got three projects that I wanted to show, possibly four, if I get the submission, but definitely three. But before I play the projects, I wanted to know from those of you who are here and who have taken the class, what was your favorite thing that you guys learned from this class?
But I would like to also extend the question that Jessica and Derek asked to Derek and Jessica, and myself, what did you like teaching and what have you learned, if anything, from this class? So a little reflection to ourselves. What did we like and what did we learn? I know that I learned some stuff about how to teach because that was my actual second experience in teaching. I learned some stuff about Reaper that I haven't discovered and that I discovered thanks to this class. I am continuing to discover stuff in Reaper. This is just to tell you that Reaper is, at least to me, an endless possibility thing. It has a lot of possibility to learn and to it provides a lot of possibility for people, musicians or not, and we're still discovering it. And I like teaching, of course, MIDI. That's basically what I'm here for and I was here for, but also helping with the tempo and, you know, learning and discovering things about SFZ that Derek taught us. And try to make some study groups like the one on the new notation editor. It's pretty new. Cannot do much about it with it yet. But it's a thing that has a lot of potential to me, according to me. So that's why I like teaching that. And of course, you know, playing with stretch markers and tempo markers, which is also one of my favorite part of Reaper. So this is what I learned and like. And now back to you guys.
I enjoyed teaching the lecture on SFZs, and I especially enjoyed when people would turn in instruments they made. People were sampling doorbells and cups and doing all kinds of things with filters and looping and making instruments out of household objects that were very playable and very fun to play. And I thought that was a very cool thing. And I enjoyed teaching mixing. We were taking raw tracks of live music and we were removing some of the problems with each of those tracks and turning them into very complete mixes and using different forms of automation to do this very quickly and very efficiently. And that was fun. As far as what I learned that I didn't know well, that's definitely the MIDI editor. I could mess around and pretend, but in terms of being proficient and efficient, didn't happen until Gianluca had taught it for me anyway.
As far as what I enjoyed teaching, I enjoyed teaching a couple of things. So I really liked talking about tempo stuff because I liked mashups. So I felt like, you know, I was helping people make mashups. And I one day want like all these people to make this big mashup compilation. That'll never happen, right? But it'd be really cool. Anyways, so I really liked teaching the tempo stuff a lot with Gianluca and Derek as well, and showing the item pitch stuff and sort of how all that works. I also really liked, and I think a lot of people in general kind of liked this, I like sort of how we broke down how I might make a mashup. Now, it was relatively an easy one in the grand scheme of things, but it was still one that, you know, I was able to sort of break down in class, and people were kind of able to see, you know, how you would manipulate the tempo BPMs and you would manipulate the item pitches and you would put the tracks together, and then you would manipulate the final project BPM afterwards if you wanted to kind of make it slower and faster so that, you know, one or the other track isn't compromised more and both tracks kind of equally compromise a little bit. So I liked sort of working with that and then putting some effects on the tracks to sort of mix and make them a little bit better, turning them up and down and putting a limiter sort of on the master just for effect mode to keep it sort of in conformance. So I liked sort of doing that and sort of teaching the class how, you know, you can just put a mashup together. And that was kind of fun. And they, I think, seemed to kind of enjoy that. As far as what I learned, I really learned a lot from Gianluca's portion in the MIDI editor, because I had first sort of learned a bit about it from the Osara mini course that they had, but I didn't get to really mess with it because I didn't have like a MIDI controller and things at the time. And so I kind of, at the time, it didn't really matter to me as much. But then, you know, I was teaching this course with Derek and Gianluca, and so I learned sort of a whole lot about the MIDI editor because of him, and I got to enjoy finding new instruments and helping people with, you know, instruments. Oh, I enjoyed that too. Like, I enjoyed mixing Africa. I'm sorry I didn't get to finish Africa. Like, I know you guys wanted me to do the whole vocoder Africa thing. I'm sorry I didn't get to finish that, because that was actually kind of neat to do. And the little vocoder part, but I need to sit down and do that whole part. So I enjoyed all that. But what about you guys, like Jim, Jess, and Tammy, and whoever else is here? Like, what have you guys enjoyed learning from this class?
I definitely have enjoyed the stretch marker thing. I mean, I've enjoyed the, you know, the MIDI editor and stuff like that too. But really, I've enjoyed the tempo thing and the stretch markers, because they are really powerful stuff. I knew how to do, you know, MIDI and audio, but the tempo manipulation and everything was really good. Also, Derek mentioned the doorbells. That was kind of fun doing that with the SFZ stuff. So, yeah, definitely have enjoyed this stuff. You know, for any new newcomers to this class, definitely take it. It's going to be worth your while.
For me, well, the MIDI, because I've kind of been aware of MIDI for a long time, but not really been able to do anything very much with it myself. So kind of learning how to manipulate MIDI and use, for somebody who's not really a musician, sort of being out, there's a thing you can do where you can actually sort of make, construct a piece of music kind of in just very small steps. So although for somebody that can play, it probably seems quite long-winded, for people like me, it's quite a nice way of being able to just construct a little tune without too much playing knowledge. So that was just good to be able to get to grips with that. And then the other thing that I want to do, or I have done in the past, is just made music mixes of little clips of songs that I put together for a local podcast I do featuring local musicians. And I've just sort of crossfaded things before, but hopefully from now onwards I'll be able to sort of do a bit more in mixing, you know, do sort of better mixes in doing some tempo matching and things to get the actual clips of the songs to kind of blend together a lot more interestingly.
Well, cool.
The only part of the class I found a little bit, a part of the class that I didn't really get was the SFZs, but yeah. At the time I didn't really have time to finish the assignment. Everything else was, I've learned so much about MIDIs and about tempo and stretch markers. I originally took the class to learn to do mashups, which I haven't actually done. I've done more with MIDI, which I thought that I would not do. So SFZs maybe in the future, maybe. But the teaching was outstanding as usual, yeah. And the class was awesome.
So what about you, Rika? What did you learn from this class? Or what did you enjoy about this class? What were some of the things you enjoyed?
Of course, for me, the MIDI was the thing, because that's why I came. Because we were talking about MIDI course, actually, at the beginning. But yeah, I also enjoyed, because I eventually learned, I mean, I haven't done really good SFCs, but I at least now know how to do one if needed. And the tempo thing, I was in Germany, I was listening to the podcast, but I didn't have too much time to do those. But at least I learned something about tempo and stretch markers, so I might give them a try in the future. But the MIDI was, and the possibility to do those together. I mean, to be able to play with your piano with different instruments and put them to tracks in Reaper, that's the dream for me. So now I can eventually make music.
Well, that is really, really awesome. And I'm glad that some of you guys did attempt to do a final project. So I have a few that I can show. And it's kind of exciting because each one of them, you know, did something really cool. And so the way the final project worked was there are essentially five goals or milestones that we teach in the composition course. And their goal was to pick two of the five milestones or goals in this case for their project and implement them in their project. And each of the four people who did a project managed to do that and did it pretty successfully, I would say. So I think that's really cool. And each one of them had sort of a unique spin on things. So who's ready to hear some stuff?
Hey.
Yes.
Why not?
So first up is Jess. And he did a mashup, but he did a very interesting mashup. I'll let him sort of explain what he decided to do for his final project before I play it.
Go ahead and play it. It'll explain itself.
Fair enough. It probably will too. So here's Jess's mashup.
You about to witness hip hop in its most purest, most rawest, born blow or most flawless, most hardest, most honest, known artist. Chip off the old block, but old Doc is. Looks like Batman brought his own Robin. Oh God, but Don's got his own Laden. With his own private plane, his own pilot. Set the blow college, dorm room doors off the hinges. Oranges, peach, pears, plums, oranges. Yeah, here I come, I'm inches away from you, dear, fear none. Hip-hop is in a state of 911. Skip to your loo while I do what I do best. You ain't even impressed no more, you're used to it. Flow's too wet, nobody close to it. Nobody says it, but still everybody knows the shit. The most hated on out of all those who say they get hated on in 80 songs and exaggerate it all so much they make it all up. There's no such thing like a female with good looks who cooks and cleans. It just means so much more to so much more people when you're rapping and you know what for. The show must go on, so I'd like to welcome y'all to Marshall and Andre's Carnival. Come on! Now let's get down to business. I don't got no time to play around, what is this? Must be a circus in town. Let's shut the shit down on these clowns. Can I get a witness?
Hell yeah!
Let's get down to business. I don't got no time to play around, what is this? Must be a circus in town. Let's shut the shit down on these clowns. Can I get a witness? It's yeah. Just like old times, the dynamic duel, two old friends. Why panic? You already know it's fully capable. The two cape heroes, dial straight down the center 800. You can even call collect. The most feared duet since me and Elton play career Russian roulette. And never even see me blink or get the bus in a sweat. People stepping over people just to rush to the set, just to get to see an MC who breathes so freely. Ease over these beats and be so breezy. How can shit be so easy? How can one Chandra be so leavy? Turn on these beats, MCs don't see me. Believe me, BET and MTV are gonna grieve when we leave Dog for Sheezy. Can't leave rap alone, the game needs me. So there you have it, folks!
Fantastic. I love the tape stuff there as well. I had to get that
one. Very awesome.
That was so awesome.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I like it too. I like it too.
So Jess's was also neat because
he used some of his mixing stuff we talked about. It was some MIDI and audio put together because the piano track was his. He played that.
Yeah, it was.
He used stretch markers, I see, to keep the tempos of everything aligned. And you turned off the preserve pitch to use them in to do the tape stop. There were three of the milestones right there.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why. Eminem has always been, an obsession. But he's a rapper that's easy to make a mashup from. And I've used the instrumental. I don't remember who.
Crazy Town.
Crazy Town. That's what it is. Yeah. Butterfly from Crazy Town. That. I don't know why. They just seem to go together.
They do.
They go together very well.
What I found made your mashup really cool, actually. I'm about to solo this because it's cool. That's his piano. So he put that over his...
got his own Latin with his own private place.
Kill Eminem. Well, don't kill him, but...
I thought that was cool. And so on.
Yeah.
So that I thought was really cool because I liked the whole piano bit with that. I thought that made it sort of more more unique and filled out. I thought what would have been cooler though is I don't know, I imagined some sort of guitar or harp or something to kind of fill it out there, and then as well as the piano, and then that would have been really cool.
So the piano, but a little Rhodes solo or Worley or something, you know, kind of doing accents too. I could have seen the combination of both of those. As it stands, that's quite nice.
It was cool. I liked it. So, any comments, guys?
I guess I have a compliment because I'm not familiar with any of the music. And I just thought, well, that just sounds like the same track. I'm not hearing, you know. So it sounded like it all went together and meshed, and it was great.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I wasn't familiar with the music. I know who Eminem is, but... It sounded like it. That's what's cool about the mashups is that when you put it together, it's a completely different song. But I think Rusty said, it sounded like it all went together as one thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I have to agree with that totally. Like, I quote, because I heard this thing and I said, okay, I didn't know these songs, but they blend together so well that to me, you could just say, okay, hear this new song by, you know, Eminem, whatever. And I would just completely say, okay.
Yeah, I was waiting. I'm like, when are we going to get to something he did?
Oh, wow.
And of course, that also showed that you're very talented as a piano player, because that piano was played well. I mean, it was not, for example, virtuoso or something like that, because that thing didn't require that. And this is also
translate that. What is virtuoso or whatever?
Virtuoso, how do you call when people play with a bunch of notes and go up and down and runs and does a virtuoso? They have a
virtuosic.
That thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that didn't need that. And I know you are, because I heard other things that you... And another thing that he did, just did, was can we call our bell for the end of every class, which I think that will be worth showing the people as well.
Oh, yeah, that's how we're dismissing this. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. Yes. We will, and that's also every bit of that goes to Jez, who did the whole production of that, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I'm glad you guys liked it. I used to do that kind of stuff, or, you know, try to, when I was, you know, a kid, and it just amazed me back in the 90s, early 2000s, you know, the mega mixes where DJs would do that kind of stuff on the spot, you know, I'm like, golly, you know, how do they mix or how do they mash this artist and that artist? Stuff that you never would have thought would actually blend well would really do that. And I'm like, oh man, you know, so I took the Crazy Town thing and Eminem and I said, you know, let's smash this together and see if it, you know, see what comes out. The one observation that I had, I wasn't sure if that piano would really work, only because the piano was fine. The genre of music that I played, it sounds kind of suspenseful and not really, I don't know. So I was kind of had my doubts about, am I really playing the correct genre of music here?
Yeah, it was very restrained, which I liked.
Oh, thank you. And it's difficult for me as a pianist to do that, to kind of hold back and keep things simple. So, you know, so thank you. I appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, it was good. One of the things as a mashup artist that I can say is a good mashup. Well, you guys just nailed it on the head. So a good mashup, unless you know the songs, you can't tell that it's a mashup. And sometimes that ends up being a problem because you're like, I want people to know what this song is, or you know, I want them to know what elements I used when you know, you mash up all this stuff, right? So, and then, you know, people kind of look at you like, oh, what did you mash up? Like, that wasn't a mashup, actually. So,
yeah, Ben Burtt said it best. A well-designed soundtrack or Foley at work or edit or whatever is something that goes unnoticed. Yeah. If it's done well, which is really annoying.
So, our next project is from Rika. She decided to make an instrumental of a song, and she then made some vocals and sang and then mixed it. So she made her song, and it's very, very awesome. Let me
see. Do you have any comments on it before we play it, Rika? Any sort of thing you want to preface it with?
Yeah. I think everyone has heard the story about me promising to Gianluca that I sing it in Italian if he solves a problem that I have. And there we are.
And I want to point out that her pronunciation was perfect. And she did not even need help. And as far as I know, she does not speak a word of Italian. And that's a compliment, because not only did she sing and play and she did everything, but she went beyond and sang in another language. She could have, you know, she could have sung in Finnish or in German.
In German, she also knows
a song. This song is has two lyrics, an Italian one and a German one. But she decided for that little, because, you know, one day we were on team talk and she was having a little issue with her keyboard, and I just, you know, made a little joke and said, you know, you sing Italian if I make this thing work again. She said, oh yeah, I'll do that, because this song, there's a version in Italian. And I said, then basically I got this thing to work, and she did it, but she did it so well. That was brilliant.
But it's also because you, for you personally, because you have done so much to our MIDI accessibility and scripts and everything, though, so this can also be considered as thank you.
Absolutely.
So let me introduce. Thank you, guys. So let me introduce Rika's. Let me introduce Rika's project as an Italian introducer would do. So I would say something like, very famous. There's a very famous festival here in Italy called Sanremo Festival, and every time a singer, before a singer starts to sing, they say something like, dirige l'orchestra il maestro Jessica Silva, canta Rika Cannisto, La Montanara.
Lassù per le montagne, fra boschi e valli d'or, tra l'aspre rupie che già cantico d'amore, lassù per le montagne, fra boschi e valli d'or, tra l'aspre rupie che già un cantico d'amore. La Montanara uè, si sente cantare. Cantiam la Montanara, e chi non la sa, la Montanara uè, si sente cantare. Cantiam la Montanara, e chi non la sa. Montanara uè, si sente cantare, cantiam la Montanara, e chi non la sa, la Montanara uè, si sente cantare, cantiam la Montanara. sparsa di fior, era la piccola dolce dimora di Soregina, la figlia del sole.
So that was Rika's project.
Very nice.
Bravo.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, harmonizing.
Absolutely. It made me feel like I was at a 5-star dining establishment. It just, it was very, very well done.
I'm so bad at singing harmonies. Actually, at the beginning, I say, I can't do that. Someone else should. But then I thought, okay, if, why not?
Harmonies are the worst. Yes. Because putting them in, you sing them, and it's like, oh, that didn't sound right. You have to do them 42 times to get them right.
Yeah, you definitely do have a really good sense of pitch. I'll say that. Very nice.
And that was another project where audio and MIDI mixed together, because some of these instruments were played by her and some of them were VSTs. So that's another very good point about it. So she did everything, singing and also audio and MIDI together. So I really liked it.
Who did the guitar?
Me.
He did.
Oh, I know, but I mean, was it? Was it?
No, she did.
Yeah. Was it? Was it audio guitar or MIDI?
Yes, she plays the guitar.
Yeah, it was
a
real.
She plays the guitar.
Oh, nice.
And there was the bass was from Kontakt, and the strings I don't remember, Sforzando maybe, and the bell and the piano were also Sforzando.
So my only critique on this project. I really liked this project, actually. I don't know if you got my email, but...
Yes, I just read it.
So I was listening to this, and I liked it. I thought it was really nice, but my only problem, particularly on the quiet part, so I just found one. So when you're playing your glockenspiel, the bass was turned up pretty loud, and I thought,
it's
well, maybe
the
bass is...
compressor. I blame the compressor. I should have...
So if you listen to this... Here's the glockenspiel with. So I felt that bass was sort of loud a bit.
I actually thought that the bass was loud, but that part could be like turned up by 1 dB down, turned down by 1 dB. But at the beginning, I thought it was a bit loud. Not particularly in this part, but at the very beginning of the project.
Yes, you are correct.
That could have been turned down by, I believe, a couple or even 3 dBs. More than when the glockenspiel was there. Because it contrasts a bit with a little melody. Na, 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 it contrasts that a bit. So but at the beginning, I found it a bit out of place. If I have to... find a little of a little critique point, but besides that, that's more of a mixing point than a
yeah.
Playing how it sang. I don't know if Derek has other ideas. You know,
I appreciate what was done on the mix. It was clear that you'd learned things from
because
that section.
I did what you suggested. That's why you appreciate.
Did you like
and
it better?
Did and it was so amazing because the bass was okay, it was okay, but not very good. And after the changes I tried with your suggestions, then I could turn it actually louder and it sounded more bassy after that, more pleasant.
So I actually turned the bass down, and this is where it gets interesting because stylistic differences, right? I turned this master track up a little bit because I did turn it a bit down.
I mean, the EQ made it so that it.
Yeah, the EQ was really nice. I like what you did with the REEC there and sort of how you flushed that out. But so I turned the bass down a little bit because, I thought the bass was kind of loud, like it was overpowering. So here I am with the glockenspiel.
Too quiet.
Yeah, I agree more with Gianluca that it could stand to be a little louder than that, but not as loud as it was.
Yeah.
Maybe we are just different with our tastes, how much bass we love.
Because, well, right now it's at, let's see, if we turn it up a bit more,
So it'd be interesting to use the pink noise method to see how it what comes through the first what the predominant instrument would be. Low. I think.
So
I would say a couple of dB up more.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was at +5 originally dB. I thought that was a bit loud. So or I don't know. It's very interesting.
Or you turn it up a bit more, but you drop the bands that she had already taken down by more. So you turn it up, but then you drop.
Yeah, you make it
the stuff
thinner.
That she had already right. taken out a bit. Mm-hmm. By more.
So you empty the sound a bit, but you give it more presence at the same time, probably.
Yeah. So subtractive mixing.
Yeah, which I like.
But while she's sorting that out, what do the rest of you guys think? Feel free to chime in.
Yeah.
Student or otherwise, guest, whatever. Just feel free to chime in.
What is the song? I've not heard that song before. What is the name of it?
That's a song called La Montanara, and it's a very, like, classical, like old song from the 20s, 30s, I think. And it's about this girl who sings in the mountains, and it also is about a legend of this girl called Soregina, who's the daughter of the sun. And it's a legend of a part that is in Ladina, legend of Ladina, but it's a northern Italy, of this girl who is the daughter of the sun. And basically, the legend said that this girl will die every evening if she has to do what the sun does. If the sun sets, she has to go to sleep, otherwise she would die. And so this is a song sort of about that, but also about the this Montanara who sings, and everybody should know the song according to the song. Because it says, La Montanara si sente cantare, cantiamo la Montanara, everybody sing La Montanara, who doesn't know that? Chi non la sa, who doesn't know that? And before Rika gave me this song and talked to me about the song, I heard this song probably once by a choir of Alpini. It was this men who sing in the mountains of Italy, and it's a very, very, Rika heard it too, and just a very, this choir making all the harmonies and all this thing. And then I heard Rika's version, I liked it because she put her own style and her own singing to that song. So yeah.
It was beautiful.
There are many versions of this song in German and in Italy. All the choirs from the mountains and Germany, Austria, and Italy, and everywhere have sung it, I think.
Yeah, I think the best one is the Il Coro del Trentino. I think it's the one that to me, that's the best version of them.
So I turned her bands down that she turned down by another dB, and I put her original volume back that she had on her bass. So now you have...
Like it's softer, the bass, it's still there, but it's soft.
Yeah, I think that did it. Can you play the beginning? Let's see how it stands at the beginning.
So let's see how the beginning goes. See, I feel like that beginning is still a bit much.
Okay, what can be done there?
I feel like you should automate that part down.
No, no. Just turn down the velocities on the MIDI. That's what probably should be done. There's one note that stands out a lot. So
the F?
I have no idea. I don't have perfect pitch, but one of them, like, boom, boom, bop, that one note stands out a lot. So
it's got this thing in it. So
I'd
either loop
it. She has stems, so I can't actually...
Yeah, I mean, but...
Okay, so what you do is you sweep a band... And find the upper harmonic of that F, so you just loop it and sweep a band and seek and destroy.
Do you need the unfrozen version? I mean, if someone sends you stems, can you actually unfreeze them if you have those plugins yourself?
Yes, she probably Jessica could unfreeze that herself if they're frozen. If Jessica has Sforzando and the
contact.
The only thing that I would say happening that might happen, Jessica, you should have this free selection library. If you have that, you shouldn't have problems. But if you get a sample missing, just hit Alt F4 and see if that plays. If you want to do that. I mean, it's not a thing that we have to do, but that was an idea that I had. Like, let's see how turning the velocity down, if that would help by, like, a, I don't know, 10 points.
Or you could get
the
dynamic there, but just, like I said, seek and destroy that upper harmonic.
Yeah.
So many ways to do things. Yeah, it's quite incredible.
I went into her project, though, and I can't unfreeze the tracks, so.
Ah, okay.
Oh, no. Why?
It's okay.
I think it's good.
Okay.
It's definitely beautiful. It's definitely a good job.
It says unavailable, so I did look.
For a song that has such a depressing theme to it, it really is beautiful. I mean, for a song the Olive Garden or something.
It's not depressing because... the only time that Sorokin has actually mentioned is at the very end.
So it touches the theme of that legend, but it doesn't explain the legend. It just talks about this Montanara, this girl from the mountain who sings and le monti, le valli d'oro, the golden valleys and all that. So and there's
the
long,
way Rika
long,
sings. You know, yeah, the way Rika sings, you know, it's anything. She could make anything depressing sound beautiful. Honestly.
Aww. Thank you. I have to remember that and sing depressing songs, and you will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just don't tell me the plot or anything, okay? And then we'll be good.
Could I say one thing? Well, besides the fact that your voice blends really well with your harmonies, it all went well. I like the combination, but I also, and when Jessica turned down the bass in that middle part, I liked it because I could hear the Glockenspiel more.
Yeah, that was sort of my thing too. It was like, I mean, I don't understand Italian, but I understood things like campana and things like that. And so I actually felt like the bell and stuff sort of needed to stand out more in that.
I like that part.
That's why I felt like the bass needed to be more subtle. But again, this is stylistic differences, guys. Like, this is where Gianluca and Derek and I sort of all differ.
Yeah,
see, so.
Except campana was not a word in the song, but...
yeah, it was.
Capanna. She said... That was the actual word. That is.
Oh, I thought I heard the M.
I really want spaghetti and salad.
That's perfect, Jessica. I mean, it's a capanna. Basically, it was a little house where she lived, like a panna cosparsa di fiori with flowers. But yeah, it's capanna. Mm. But words are similar if you're not Italian.
Yeah, I thought I heard her say an M. That's why
campana.
I was like...
Campana, yeah.
So that's why I sort of had thought that. And I felt like that bass was sort of just harsh for that song. I don't know. Maybe it's interesting.
Yeah, but if you bypass the EQ, it makes a very big difference.
Yeah,
work on finding the parts that were
another stylistic thing, just throwing this out there. What if during that Glockenspiel you kill the bass altogether?
No, because then you would lose sort of the bottom filling to that.
The rhythm would just disappear.
So I wonder, though, if she had put, instead of a bass right there, maybe a piano. Or something.
Or turn up the guitar.
Yeah.
The guitar has
the rhythm. Turn up the guitar or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay. Or so, like maybe some contrabass or some cello or something to go with like the strings maybe.
But if there's too much of a stylistic shift, it would sound weird.
Like
two different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of ideas, you know, that you could sort of throw around and mess with. But overall, it was a very good project and I think everyone enjoyed it. Just all had sort of different stylistic takes on it, which is partially why I love this course so much, is that everyone sort of critiques the projects and stuff.
It's called composition, and you're composing, so like sort of.
Yeah, and I have to say, this is cool because we have all our ideas, because I've actually always done my music, these Reaper things alone, and I've never collaborated with anyone, because like playing alone, mixing alone, singing alone. it might be very interesting to try something with someone together. And I hope in the future I might get the chance to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Collaborating is fun. I love it.
Oh, yeah. We could spend hours of talking how we collaborate.
Days. Yeah. Days.
So our next project is from Tammy. She decided to take an acapella of a song and then play her piano to it. So she decided to make sort of a piano arrangement. So she kind of did a little bit of mixing. She told me that her project is not complete, but she did want to turn it in and let you guys hear it, what she had. So she decided to mix a song and play it. But the acapella...
It's definitely a work in progress.
Yeah. So this is what she did.
You're the light, you're the night, you're the color of my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain, you're the only thing I wanna touch. Never knew that it could mean so much, so much. You're the fear, I don't care, cause I've never been so high. Follow me through the dark, let me take you past the satellites. So love me like you do, la la, love me like you do. Love me like you do, la la, love me like you do. Touch me like you do, ta ta, touch me like you do. What are you waiting for? Fading in, fading out, on the edge of paradise. Every inch of your skin, it's a holy grail I've gotta find. Only you can set my heart on fire, on fire. Yeah, I'll let you set the pace, cause I'm not thinking straight. My head's spinning around, I can't see clear.
Love me like you do, like you do, love me like you do. pretty okay. cool.
Very nice.
Yeah, really nice. The playing was seemed perfect. I think probably the is Ellie Goulding's sort of some of the I think it's just the way that on the chorus there the vocal bit seemed to sort of go a bit weird, but no, then the playing seemed to just match along perfectly.
I actually used I found the acapella, and then I had already done the piano version. Like this was a sort of thing, and I just sort of I thought I could just tempo sync the acapella to the piano that I've already played, and it turned out really good.
Yeah, it did.
You said that was a work in progress.
Well, it wasn't what I wanted to submit, but it was okay.
It was good. I really, really enjoyed the video lately.
I just had a quick observation that sometimes the piano seemed to get lost under the vocals a little bit, which is not really a big deal. All you got to do is have volume envelope.
I noticed that too.
On the piano.
And yeah, I wasn't sure what to do there because I was going for balance, but I didn't really know whether to maybe choose a different piano or make the volume a little bit more. So I was sort of gonna leave it up to you guys. What do you think I should do?
Again, stylistic, but just for the vocals, I would have chosen a different piano. But with the one that you used, I would have turned the volume up a little bit.
What piano is that?
The Maestro Concert Grand.
Yeah, I would have chosen the grander.
Well, I picked it because it had the right reverb, because it matched the vocals. I wanted it to sound like it was sort of in a hall sort of thing because the vocals, the reverb of the vocals, I couldn't really change because that's right. The way that it was. So if I had picked a piano with less reverb, it would have sounded, I did at first. I picked the Complete Control piano, the Concert Grand, and it just was not enough reverb, and then there was one that had too much. It was like this sort of the happy medium of the four pianos I had.
I think what I would have done, ironically, was either if I couldn't pick a different piano, if indeed that is the best. It was very beautifully played. I liked some of the kind of walking chords. You didn't just stick to your 1-4-5. You kind of did some thirds there, and you made the performing very interesting. But I would have widened the vocal, or I would have narrowed the vocals, or chose a piano with a wider stereo image, or given it more reverb, because it sounded like, to me, you had these very wide vocals, and then you had this piano kind of sitting in the middle of the vocals, as opposed to having the vocals sitting around the instrument. If that makes sense, having the instrument. Bigger thing.
Yeah, yep.
You had the vocals as the bigger thing, and the piano in this little box in the vocal, and it was a interesting sound.
I think my only problem with this, as well, other than like, I didn't really notice the piano issues as much as sort of the other people did. So fair enough. But one of the things I noticed, and I think it's because I've messed with this particular vocal before,
but it's the same one that I've noticed.
this. this vocal, it's not even her fault. That's the problem. It's this vocal's fault. So the way that this stupid vocal is done, because they, you know, made a homemade acapella of it, essentially, it's sort of like, I don't know, contrasts with the piano. And so, yeah, I'm kind of with Derek. I think maybe sort of narrowing the vocal, or a wider piano, or maybe more pianos, or like some more sort of stuff to fill it out. Because the vocals is like, I don't know, it's like contrasting
well,
with everything.
Well, especially when they got to the point where there was like a bunch of them singing, and it was like, oh, like, what do I do here? Like, it's a balance. Like I said, it's a balance, and the piano is kind of there, but it's sort of taken over by the vocals. And I'm kind of like, well, here. And I tried several different pianos and I wasn't sure how to like fix it. So yeah.
It would be cool, like to have like the same piano maybe that you had, and then maybe some just sort of like some strings on the Love Me Like You Do, like the where the big parts, sort of some strings there.
Yeah, this is why it's a work in progress. You see, this is
which is why I wanted to bring that up, because I was like, she's not done.
I have all the parts done. They just didn't, when I tried to mix them this morning, they didn't mix well, and I was like, oh, this isn't going to sound good. So I didn't want
to
hand it in.
Definitely,
like
I would like to hear your final work.
Yeah.
One thing that I would like another part of the problem, which you can absolutely do zero things about, is the vocal has a lot of artifacts.
I'm not keeping the vocal. I don't like the vocal. I have eight harmonized vocal tracks. So I'm not keeping that vocal.
Another thing that I was suggesting with this vocal, but you're not keeping it, so but just a couple of stretch marker in two or three points I would have added. Just a couple of them. Just to tighten it up a bit more with the piano. I don't know if you had the vocal on the metronome and the piano. It was a freely played thing. I believe it's on the metronome, but either way, I would just add it like a couple of stretch markers to the vocal to tighten it up a bit, especially on the T and on the D sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was my only thing with the vocal. But if you're not keeping it, forget it. I'm pretty sure.
No, I found that vocal a little bit artifacty, and it was fine for handing in like. Tempo synced fine, but like pitch shifted okay, but if you
narrow the vocal, Jessica, can we see if that would decrease the artifacts, if that would hide them
a little
bit? Most of them are on the side, again. So it probably
they're all on the side though, Derek.
I don't think it would, because I tried it and it didn't fix it.
Because they're all on the side.
That's why narrowing it probably might help a bit.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah, if you just turn the width of the track.
I have to get to her project. Hold on.
Yeah. And another thing is that you just said it, and that really makes me happy, because what you said was, so first I thought of using the concert grand in complete contact, whatever it was. And then you picked up Maestro Concert Grand, that if I understand it, if I remember correctly, that's a free piano.
Yes, it is.
That actually is or was a .gig file that then people have converted to a sound font. Now, I don't know if you use a sound font version of the GIG, the gig version. If you use the gig version, I would like to know what player you used it to use it with. If you use a sound font version, you probably use synth font. What version of the piano did you use?
I used, I put it in, it's the contact version. I got it from Big Cat.
Okay, so Big Cat made a conversion for contact. Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That. Okay. And that also, I want to make another point. Big Cat is a website where you can find all sorts of free sounds and instrument, and she picked one of their converted works, and it sounds very good. She could have gone Alicia Keys and give it more reverb, or she could have gone the Pearl Concert Grand if she has it, and that has a lot of reverb, which it probably would fit. But I'd say that this piano fits very well. Maybe expand it a bit, but if you're changing the vocal, that will totally change the mix. So yeah,
and you guys will get a copy of the final because
I would like to hear it. I would like to hear, especially if you had some strings. When I heard it, I thought that this piano was professionally made. I thought, because I lost the connection when Jessica introduced your project. So the first thing I thought was, oh, they're playing one of Jessica's mashups. Then I hadn't heard when I entered the channel again. Then I said, no, it must be a project. And I heard, this piano is very good. What song would it belong? I was wondering what song that piano was from.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah, that was her. That's why I said she's playing her piano.
Yeah, that's when I heard it after Jessica, because my connection broke when you introduced it.
So I entered
the channel and that thing was already playing. So my first thought was, oh, Jessica's mashup. Second was, no, must be one of the project. And third was, what is the original song on the piano? I need to ask that. It's very good.
Oh, thanks.
And just out of curiosity, did you do the piano, did you just play it all at once in one take, or did you have several ones, or how did you do it?
That's,
You don't have to.
No, it's fine. I step recorded some of it, and I recorded some of it. I recorded the major parts, and then I just built on it. I step recorded a little bit after. I was
and that,
like the middle bits, like the bridge, and that I step recorded because it's easier.
And that's a way to show you that, and again, that Reaper is just a tool that gives you a tool, and you choose how to use the tools. She step recorded it. Other could have played it. It doesn't matter. The result is what really counts, what really matters. And that was a good one.
No, yeah, I was asking because I didn't know, and I was also asking because it sounded so smooth. That was why I was asking.
Yeah, and that's because of her abilities and because of Reaper's editing, where you can do what you want with the notes, basically.
And I congratulate you on the step recording because that was done so well that it didn't sound robotic. It sounded just as if it were performed. There was no way I could tell, like, oh, that part was quantized excessively, and so it might have been step recording.
Yeah, I thought she recorded the whole thing. I thought she did the whole thing straight.
That's why I asked, because I'm like, wow.
Yeah, me too, actually, me too.
Made my life easier.
That's cool. That's really awesome. So I changed the width of the track to 50%, and now we have...
You're the light, you're the night, you're the color of my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain, you're the only thing I wanna touch. Never knew that it could mean so much, so much.
I can still hear stuff.
I can still hear it, but it's a lot better than it. It's a little bit better than it was.
Go to the chorus where there are a lot of harmonies. Let's see what it does there.
Yeah, let's see what we can find. Here we go.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah,
there it is.
Yes. Wow.
I think it went from hideous to horrible.
It
stepped up.
Ugh.
Huh? It what?
I don't like it at all.
You think it went from what to what, Tammy?
I think it went from bad to worse.
Yeah. There was actually
the choir,
some...
the refrain, The beginning was actually... It was actually giving it a different panning, the vocals and the piano, so it actually was... Give it more contrast, which the thing that I liked, but then when we got to the... Love me like you.
It was all like mixed, like yeah. It was all
some of the artifacts actually
Derek,
made the whole audio
way?
Cancel out.
Yeah, you can automate the track with just like anything else. So you could keep the beginning.
I was
which
gonna
was
say,
better.
I wonder if she could have done then, that. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't,
no, you can automate the track with just like anything else. Yeah.
Huh. So Tammy, were those your? Because I missed part of this. Were those your vocals or was the?
No. I got an acapella version. I downloaded it and then I used those. With over top of my piano.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
So yeah, any of the ways with automation or with any of the means of getting any track parameter as an envelope, you can automate the track width and stuff.
Because maybe in that case, like she could have had the beginning at 50% like we had it, because that was nice. And then it could have widened back out.
And then the middle could have widened out to 100 or whatever. To make it not sound hideous. Like,
or what if she used a plugin that allows her to reduce the sides in the middle?
That's essentially what happens when you collapse the image. So in that case, it's just a less efficient means of narrowing.
No, but I was thinking more of a band splitter and using the sides to the extremes.
Could she have done the whole mid-side thing that they learned in Advanced Reaper and maybe helped that a bit? Maybe.
No, like I said, in that particular context, it's a more inefficient way of just collapsing the width. Because remember, mid-side.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly. You know,
this is why I was thinking of reducing one of the bends, one of the high end, just the high ends, not the whole. Because the whole thing, you can just get the same result with shrinking the width.
I tried reducing some of the bends. Like, I tried reducing the high band, and I tried some notch filters and stuff to take some of that stuff out. But just, like, nothing worked really well, so...
Only on the sides or just to the whole thing? You said reduce the...
I tried the notch filter on the whole thing.
Ah, okay.
But it didn't... And some of the frequencies, like some of the higher frequencies I tried taking out, but it didn't
Now, as Jessica and Gianluca suggested, in that particular case, since we would affect the sides differently rather than just turning the volume of them up and down to widen or narrow the width, you could automate filtering and the volume of a side channel track.
Yeah.
And use any number of means of getting the mid and the side on different tracks.
But that could be just...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the not worth it factor, especially because she's not keeping the vocals, is definitely
yeah.
up there.
Oh, yeah,
but
sure.
The fact is, if you haven't taken the class and you've shown up to listen, you've actually gotten for free some pretty cool things to try on some of your own stuff.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And I want also to add that these things that we're saying, they don't mean at all that Tammy or Jess or Rika didn't pass. Absolutely. No. They all passed they were just
everyone's
suggestions.
Project has passed.
Absolutely.
They're just suggestions that we thought, you know, hey, well, what if they tried this or did that or whatever.
And so, really, in a studio kind of thing, you know, I mean, musicians, arrangers, when you're, you know, actually composing stuff in a studio, making an album or whatever, you do this stuff all day. You know,
yep.
I mean, this is what they do all day long, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we appreciate the feedback because it's always, somebody else listens to it and they kind of go, oh, well, you know, you could try this or you could do this. And, you know, people who've had more experience and people who've had like producers or whatever. And so it's like the feedback is much appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we have one final project, one more. This is from Jim. And he has decided to also put some MIDI and a cappella good things together. But I will let him explain more about what he decided to do for his project.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm not playing or singing on this. But it is, I've kind of got together a song which was made over 40 years ago. So a bit of the original. And then some MIDI, which was probably played by somebody who... I can't credit at all, but they just put this up on the internet probably, I imagine, about 10 years ago. And then I just kind of changed some of the instrumentation and arrangement and had a bit of fun with it.
Here is Jim's take on Bohemian Rhapsody.
Very good.
Very good. A perfect example of how audio and MIDI can go together extremely well. Very good.
Gotta love those clean Freddie Mercury vocals, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So what instruments do you use? I have a suspicion. You want to talk about some of them?
Well, yeah. Well, thanks to you, Derek, because there's the Apple Watch case and the... what is it? The Bell... jar, the glass jar bell,
glass bell,
and the glass bell. So, so you and your collaborators are thanks for letting us have those. And then the piano is a Salamander, which is an SFZ, which I think I found. It was a free one, which I found myself. I can't remember where, but that's certainly a free SFZ. And then the other ones are, I think, are actually the free stuff in Sfasando. There's the, I think it's an African drum and an upright jazz bass.
Cool.
Cool.
I think now the piano behind the vocal, was that a MIDI piano also?
Yeah, that was a MIDI. It was an SFZ sound file. And then Sfasando is the player. Yeah,
it's the sample player. Yeah,
and the Salamander is very good. I like it too.
Yeah, I like Salamander as well. I felt like the only thing I had noticed with it, and I think I told you this in your email too, is I felt Freddie Mercury was a little bit behind, but I didn't get a chance to open the project and put the Sforzando instruments. So the problem with Sforzando when anyone saves out things is the paths break. So that's not your fault. That's just Sforzando being Sforzando. So I had to go put basically the same instruments that I have, that you also have, but the same instruments, and get them from my paths and put them in the files. And then I was going to try and fix it, but I didn't get the time to do it. So, but other than that, I thought it was really good. I just thought that, like I said, the vocal dragged just a tiny, tiny bit.
So what could he have done to make it such that that vocal didn't drag?
Play with his stretch markers a little bit.
Yeah, maybe something even simpler.
He could have just nudged the item over a little bit.
Yep.
Yep.
But yeah, overall, it did.
It was cool.
Yeah, because I did try and nudge it, and I agree, because it didn't sound, it never kind of quite sounded right. And then when I was listening back to it, it's one time it sounded right, and then when I listened to it again, it didn't quite. But I didn't want to do was to actually alter the vocal. So I guess if anything, I could have just moved some of the MIDI notes a little bit, because I didn't want to actually put, you know, do anything. I didn't want to stretch or any of Freddie's vocals, but I could have slightly altered the MIDI, because it may be a possibility that the MIDI actually wasn't played correctly. The person that the original MIDI music may have not done that correctly.
I don't know, I'd have been lazy and just split it into different items and moved the parts.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I
would have split the thing into different items, and I did literally just kind of nudged the items a little bit, because the way it wasn't ever really far off. So, and I would have felt a little bit afraid to kind of put, like you, I wouldn't have wanted to stretch him really, unless I really had to. So I would have split.
We've already stretched Freddie's vocals this semester.
I would have split it into items where it was silent and then just nudged them a bit. And then you would have had the same effect, and then it would have been not pooling. But other than that, it was cool. I really liked that a lot.
Yeah, that was cool.
And it was nice just hearing, you know, because obviously the Bohemian Rhapsody is very rich in harmony, but it was nice hearing just the melody, him singing the melody. That was cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I agree with Jessica on the actual splitting and moving the item back. But also another thing you could do, not to stretch the vocal and still use stretch marker, is put them in silent part. So when, you know, it's not singing, so you're not putting them on the vocal, but in the silent part, and move them around so that you will get the same effect at splitting and moving the items. That's another little suggestion that I.
So that's what we've got for you guys today for final projects. But feel free to stick around or ask the students questions about their stuff. I'm sure maybe they'll answer them if they want to.
Now, are all the three... parts, Jessica, over for the semester? Or, I mean, is this it? Or are you still running like a gold wave or an intro class?
We have two more weeks of Reaper. Yeah, I call it Baby Reaper, but it's not really. But the beginner Reaper course.
Baby?
Baby Reaper?
Yeah, it's Baby Reaper.
I like that. Why do you call it that?
Because, the
you know, there's Reaper
one.
Advanced, right? So, like, Reaper Advanced is definitely Reaper Advanced. So it's...
That's the great, great, great granddaddy of Reaper is Reaper Advanced. Oh my God.
Still the same course that we had last semester. With the
In
same
the meantime, course. To all the students, past and present and future, who takes any of the audio related classes, well.
Yay! So, yeah, we have two more weeks of Reaping with Osara, I guess, is the actual naming of that. And so hopefully we'll have a couple more final projects from there to show in a couple of weeks.
Now, did you have another go? Because I never heard I never heard all the final projects from the last semester's audio class. I don't know if you...
Oh, there were so many. I know. Carrie was supposed to put a bunch of them from all the semesters on a big page for prospective audio students to look at in case they ran out of ideas. And I don't know if he ever did.
I don't think he ever did. I think he was meaning to put the new ones up and then the server crashed. And so he didn't, he hasn't gotten around to it yet.
So yeah, that, but if any of you guys are interested in taking any of the other classes, we are starting for the next term, which for Reaper starts in August, I think, for a regular Reaper, but you guys are already taking that. Well, some of you guys are. For a composition that doesn't start until September, because Gianluca is on vacation in August.
Yeah, basically August is my month of no connection reliable, no reliable connection, no usable machine. So, yeah, I cannot really teach well in August. And then I'm at the sea in south of Italy.
I think that if you are taking Reaper and you have an eye on music, any sort of music composition, or you'd like to learn anything about music composition, then take the second course because it really, really is worth it. I learned so much I didn't think I'd learn.
I agree. I totally agree.
I absolutely agree as well.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm glad you guys.
Yeah, that makes us feel
and,
good.
Yeah. And,
yeah, absolutely. You know.
And if you can't wait, the archives are available. Like, you could buy them.
Oh, yeah.
And just jump in.
Yeah. Jump in and, you know, get your
feet
wet.
Interesting. It'd be interesting, Jessica, I would love to take, if you run a course on, you know, arranging and composition as far as styles and stuff like that, I would be very interested in taking that.
I am thinking about it. I'm trying to get all of my ducks sorted in a row for that and possibly another instructor just to help me with
right.
it. But yeah, I'm definitely thinking about running sort of a theory and arranging course. So we'll
That'd
see
be
how
very
that.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah.
It's very boring for some people, but it's the backbone of composing stuff, definitely.
What about MIDI advanced? Would that be cool?
MIDI advanced. Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
We'd need MIDI like Arfi for that one.
Yeah, hey guys, this is Adam. I took the Reaper class last semester, and it's good to hear all these voices again. I kind of missed you guys and didn't get a chance to take this composition class, but wanted to know, could I buy the class? I heard you guys over at Cavi are actually selling the classes, so you can buy an archive of them, so I'm kind of interested in
absolutely.
That.
Yes,
yeah.
You definitely should do that.
We have the archives, and we have the term again in September, like if you want the live term. So, yeah, either one.
Can have it today.
Cool. How much does it cost the same for the archives as it does for the class?
Yep, it's $150. It's $150. Yeah.
Okay. So,
but I mean, we're there to support you and everything.
Yes.
So I mean,
yes.
You get
at least for me, June I'm here. July, part of July I'm not. August I'm not. But June and the second half of July I am here. If you need help.
For me, it's like June and August.
All right, cool. I don't know if I want to wait until September, so I might do that. What should I just go to the website and find out about buying the thing or email you guys or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, enjoyed checking out today and missed you guys. Good to hear some old friendly voices again.
Oh, yay. Yeah, it's good to hear from you again as well. Cool.
So if we were to take Reaper, this one, composition, in September, Would it be 10 weeks? Do you know?
Yeah, it's about that.
Okay. Okay, cool. That's good to know.
I mean, worst case scenario, it doesn't run in September and you just buy the archives and we're here to help.
Right.
And that's the, oh, no.
Yeah.
You still get what's been a very awesome and fun course.
No,
oh,
it
no.
Sounds,
it really has.
It
really
so
has.
It's so fun.
Like, I've
I'm
enjoyed.
I'm going to miss it on Thursdays.
I've enjoyed learning
too.
And teaching you guys. Like, it's such a fun course. I love this course.
It's gonna. It's sad to see it end. I mean,
yes, I'm very wistful. Feeling so wistful. Yeah. I would like to have evenings like this. Me, they are evenings. go on, where we could just hang out and, you know, just exchange ideas of Nick and such.
That's what I really looked forward to, is after class, where we all hang out for about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours,
the
just talking
party.
About music stuff.
It's
whatever.
Happened.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, it has
it's
happened.
After
yes.
that's yeah,
yeah.
And the cool thing is that, and I think this is a point worth making here, is that all these ideas that we've bounced off, you know, each other and all that, and I think Tammy can kind of maybe concur, maybe, that labels and stuff like that, a lot of artists now don't want you, or a lot of labels are not crazy about, hey, what if we did this with this part, and what if we did that with that? No, you got to stick with the formula.
It's very cookie cutter. It's very cookie cutter, and that's that can be a problem.
That's why I got.
I will be right back, guys.
That's why radio. That's why a lot of the stuff you. Well, I'll put a positive on it. I told a friend this morning. I said, look, a lot of artists that are truly talented, they are underground. They're obscure. You'll never hear them on the radio because the radio is a sewn up market now, and all they care about is their top. You know, 40 pop kind of thing. If you're not in one of those, you know, one of those deals, you're off. But that doesn't mean you're not talented, and that doesn't mean you, you know, don't have good stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just made this comment to my wife the other day that I hear all these pop songs, you know, especially these female artists, and they all sound like, you know, 16-year-old and like they're the same person.
Yeah, the same person that a huge amount of auto-tune.
With, like, serious auto-tune. Auto-tune seems to be the new rage.
Well, the thing is, it's DIY, you know? Everybody can make music now. And it's like, yeah, well, are you... That's the thing, is that, you know, anybody can crank up
matter.
Their laptop. But,
well, meh.
Yeah, of course it doesn't, because I got auto-tune, man. I can sing like a good guy, you know? Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I don't know. I don't hate auto-tune so much, but
clearly.
I don't mind.
Clearly you don't. And clearly, Rika doesn't either.
Never used it. I once played with
Don't.
It just for fun.
I use it sometimes.
The interesting thing is, Only God Knows Why by Kid Rock had a heck of a lot of autotune in it, but he doesn't need it. He never did.
Well, I mean, I think it was Cher that was... Well, I mean,
oh, yeah, it was her.
Who really, God, like, no, used it to her. The max, yeah. And then that trend just kind of picked up.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cher, though, do you believe...
That one, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that got famous here as well, with that... auto-tune effect, really, really, but that was used as an effect.
Yeah, she really thought it was cool.
It was a gimmick. It was
for that song. It was. Now, I was going to ask you this, Jess: was Crazy Town a one-hit wonder? With their butterfly thing, and then they kind of crapped out, didn't they?
Yeah.
And actually, I actually mashed that up with dang it, what was that song? With Eminem's. No, with Eminem's, now I can't think of the...
I'm Slim Shady, you sound the real Shady, you all know where they're Slim
no,
Shadys are just...
No, that would work too, but also...
Do you know all the words to that, Jess?
No.
Sounds like...
Yeah, do you really? Do you really?
Why, do you want to watch it with Jessica rapping?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Derek, do you still have the... You probably don't, but I mashed that up with Queen's Another One Bites the Dust.
No, unfortunately,
the real
I don't.
Slim Shady.
no, that was good though.
So should we give the bell?
I got it. Yeah.
What?
The bell.
Yeah. Where's the bell?
I got it right here.
All right. So this bell. Hold on. Before you play the bell. This bell was actually done by one of our own composition students, Jess Smith, and we've pretty much been using it to exit or as our outro music.
As our outro music.
This whole term.
Yeah, and I did the thing before the class even ran. I didn't even.
Which is pretty wild.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
It's very awesome.
And this just—I just feel it works perfectly for this.
It does. It really does.
After all the musical cool things that happened and everything, it just totally makes sense to be like, "Yep, that's got it. That's got it." And that truly has got it for this.
It's
2017.
It's sort of like dismissive for the It's like, okay, we're done. Let's play the thing. And it's really cool.
Thanks to Jess for having produced that. What you're hearing, and this is the last bell.
See ya.